What is enlightenment? What is the nature of enlightenment? Every religion and every culture speaks of this. They only use different terminologies. Buddhism calls it Nirvana, Vedanta calls it Moksha, the Western societies call it enlightenment or liberation, but every culture seems to point us toward this concept. And I have personally wondered about this for very long. And recently, I had an opportunity to sit with Swami Aparajitanandaji for a podcast. And here, I asked him this very question. So make sure to watch this clip till the end to get the complete idea on the nature of pure consciousness, on the nature of reflected consciousness, the nature of enlightenment, and how all this works. Coming to the nature of enlightenment, I was wondering what is the difference between the life that we live and the life of a jnani. Obviously, the ahamvritti that is active within us right now, as we go deeper in and deeper into this inquiry and the study of Vedanta and Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana, it slowly diminishes. Our identification slowly, it withdraws, we withdraw it. And obviously, after that point of enlightenment, the ahamvritti will not be there.
Correct. Right?
But then, if we look at the lives of the so-called enlightened beings like Ramana Maharshi, Swami Chinmayananda, Vivekananda, they all have a unique personality. They still have their own individual identity. They're very different from each other.
Yes.
Some are
yes.
very outspoken, some are very silent. But then what carries on, Swamiji, even after enlightenment and the complete dissolution of karma and ego? So what carries on?
So the example given is in the Vedanta is like the, you know, arrow which is shot from the bow. So though I come to know that, oh, I shouldn't have shot it, but the arrow keeps continuing. A better example in this modern world is like the fan, you know. You switch on the fan is rotating at a very high speed. When you switch off, for some time, the fan continues to rotate. Even though there is no electricity, the momentum carries the fan on and on and on. In the same way, they have gained the knowledge. Now they are totally disidentified with the body also. But the body has got certain prarabdha karma, because of which it has come. Some of the karmas have to get fructified. And that prarabdha karma itself decides that this body is going to exist for such a long time. So then it is just the body which is continuing. Actually, that jivatma has stopped identifying itself with the body. In fact, he has, what you call that, he has killed the individuality, the ego. It is not there. It is just the physical body which is existing. Just like the fan rotating, we may think that electricity is still there. Actually, electricity is not there.
Yeah.
Because we have switched off. In the same way, after jnanam, after once a person gains enlightenment, it is just the physical body.
Body I understand, Swamiji, but then the personality also, like we have a unique personality. This is the ego. The ego has the personality, but for them there is no ego, but they have the
samskaras in the mind, has got the habits. See, mind and the body, both of them are there. Sukshma sharira and sthula sharira, both of them are there.
Physical body, subtle body, both will
yes carry. yes
yeah. And this is until they leave their body.
Correct.
And Swamiji, in Vedanta, we talk about Chit and Chidabhasa. Chit is the pure consciousness and Chidabhasa is the channeled or reflected consciousness.
Yes.
So basically, right now, when we are unconsciously living our lives, we are using this Chidabhasa to live our lives. And what is this relationship between Chitta and Chidabhasa?
See, Chidabhasa is sometimes called as reflected consciousness. Now, if the consciousness has to reflect, there has to be a reflecting medium. So the reflected light is actually a combination of two things. One is the original light and the second is the reflecting medium. So you will find that in the reflected light, there is a property of original light also, that light itself. And there is a property of this reflecting medium. If the medium is dull, the reflection is dull. If the medium is shaky, the reflection is shaky. If the medium is broken, the reflection is broken. So reflected light is a combination of the original light and the properties of reflecting medium.
Okay.
In the same way, who are we? So Vedanta says we are a combination of two. This ego, we in the sense this Jivatma or the ego. Ego is a combination of two entities. One is consciousness, the other is body, mind, intellect. So consciousness plus body, mind, intellect equal to ego, which we call as reflected consciousness. It is reflected. Reflected where? In the mind. So if the mind is a dull mind, that personality will be a dull personality. If that mind is a very cheerful, dynamic mind, that personality will be a dynamic personality, you see. So it's a combination.
So just like how sunshine, the sun shines on everything and it makes everything visible, based on our nature, consciousness channels through it.
Correct.
In the same question, if we go a little deeper, if I right now sit and close my eyes, if I actually go in search of that ego, we don't find anything like ego as such. When we are unconscious, of course, it is active. But when we become conscious and if we sit in meditation, that is not there. Hmm. So when it is not there, am I experiencing chit or chidabhasa?
See, first of all, we have to understand what this ego is.
Hmm.
This ego is the understanding which I have about myself. This wrong notion which I have about myself, that is called as ego, or sometimes Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi calls it as aham vritti. So that understanding about myself I have gained by just observation, not by the study of scriptures. So I find that when this body was born, I was born. When this body is going to die, I am going to die. So therefore, the first notion is I am this body. This is an understanding about me. This is a notion about me. This bundle of notion about me, which defines a self, is called as ego or the aham vritti. It is a thought. Any notion is a thought. Any understanding is a thought. So I have certain thoughts about myself. I have certain understanding about myself. This bundle of understanding, this bundle of notion is what is called as ego. So what is ego? It is nothing but a thought bundle. So when I sit in meditation, at the back of the mind, I am aware that I am nothing but this ego. I am nothing but this body who is sitting there. So now, when I close my eyes, I see so many thoughts. Right? Now, these thoughts are called idam vritti. Idam vritti means this thought. Thought about the world. Thought about the things, beings and situations of the world. But where is the thought about I? It is this ego which is witnessing. It is aham vritti which is witnessing the idam vritti. The I thought is witnessing the this thought. So please understand the layers. The first is pure consciousness.
Consciousness.
Upon consciousness is this I thought. And upon I thought is this thought, idam vritti. So there are three layers. So generally when we sit for meditation, generally we are at the I thought level witnessing the this thought.
Okay.
Because even we never question. I thought. We never question the I thought because we think I know myself. What is there to inquire? So when I thought witnesses this thought, the law of meditation is the moment you witness a thought, that thought disappears. You identify with the thought and the thought multiplies. You witness a thought and the thought disappears. This is the law of witnessing. So when the I thought is witnessing this thought disappears. But the I thought remains. The ego remains. In order to destroy this I thought, there is only one way. We have to step one step back and start witnessing this I thought. That also should become an object of witnessing, the I thought. And Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi says, the moment you start witnessing the I thought also vanishes because it is nothing but thought. And then what remains? Only pure consciousness remains. The ego dissolves, and what the reality is, that alone remains.
But how can we differentiate between witnessing the idam vritti and the aham vritti itself? Because when we sit, let's say, like you explained, Swamiji, when we sit for meditation, if we practice a little bit, the thoughts begin to dissolve. But you're saying even that dissolution is happening for the idam vritti.
Yes.
So what will be the difference, or how can we go about witnessing the I thought itself?
See, that is why the first step in spirituality is not meditation. It is selfless service, because you need extreme purity of mind to witness the I thought. You have to even objectify the ego itself. The ego itself should be objectified. Generally, what happens is we are so used to getting identified with the ego that we live generally to pamper the ego. So this is a wrong way of living. So the first step in spirituality is not meditation. The first step in spirituality is selfless service, where you are serving the world, dissolving your individuality for the welfare of the totality. So you are training your mind to dissolve the ego. And this is something which can be done everywhere, whether it is in sports, whether it is family, whether it is an organization, everywhere. If I am living a life in such a way that I am giving importance to the samashti, the totality, and not giving not giving importance to the individuality, if I am living such a selfless, when I am living such a selfless way, working for the benefit of the totality, not living a selfish life, not living an egocentric life, when in this way I start working, what happens is I start gaining purity of mind. The entire third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Karma Yoga, is nothing but this. There the importance given to the yajna karma. Yajna means sacrifice. Wherever you are, sacrifice yourself for the welfare of the totality. Yajnyarthat karmanonyatra lokoyam karma bandhanah tadartham karma kaunteya mukta sangha samachara, Bhagavan says. Any action done other than this yajna, spirit will bind you. Bind you means what? Will make the ego more and more strong.
Stronger.
The more and more I live an egocentric life, the ego becomes stronger and stronger. And this I, ahamvritti, becomes stronger and stronger. And the more this ego becomes stronger, I am away and away from the Lord. Because it is this ego which is preventing me from experiencing my own true nature.
Hello there. If you wish to understand the true nature of reality and learn about consciousness, conscious creation, and the teachings of the ancient Vedanta in order to live your life with purpose, achieve fulfillment, and consciously create a life that you truly want to live, then you can join our community Come Learning platform, the Advaita Conscious Society. For more information, visit advaita.com. Thank you.